My name is Andrew Peacock. I'm a research fellow at Heriot-Watt University. So I study energy systems analysis and building physics. And I'm working with Auroville Consulting and Buddha Garden Farm here in Auroville on a demand project involving irrigation systems and also involving building demand, if you like, round about the library area in Auroville. And it's about supply demand matching to get the best use out of renewable generation systems.
Okay. So my name is Michael Shaw. I am a member of the Finhorn community, and this project really started as a bit of an inspiration of trying to get something that Finhorn and Auroville could work together. So would luck would have it, Joss Brooks introduced me to Martin, and we managed to pick up this grant, which we're currently working on, called SCORES.
So, which, this, yeah. Go on.
So I'm just going to say it's really both a grant for the street lighting in around about the solar kitchen and the library and the waste treatment plant there. You know, and put that on this demand management system that. Mm-hmm. My colleague's talking about, and also smart irrigation in Buddha Garden, mm-hmm. which we believe can save a lot of energy and a lot of water.
So this 2.5 hour workshop at Sustainable Livelihood today, what exactly was it about?
Well, I suppose it was about a number of things. It was about trying to understand how farming might evolve from the perspective of the farmer. It was trying to understand their view on technology around about energy and water. It was trying to understand why they became farmers and what, whether their children will follow in their footsteps. So trying to understand a bit of the tradition around how they became farmers. Really so that when we start thinking about a technology project that can bring ostensibly bring benefits around water consumption and energy consumption to them, that we develop that product or that technology in such a way that it fits within the social mores of the farmer and the needs and the wants and the desires of the farmer. It's not something that's imposed on them, it's something that's developed that fits in with the way that they currently operate and manage their systems. So it was broadly about that, and it's one of a series of workshops we're going to run within the SCORES project. So this was the first workshop. There's also going to be another workshop with possibly the same group of farmers, which will ask similar but different questions when we've done the project a little bit more, when we've got a few results out from the project. But we'll also be running workshops with investors, and we'll be running workshops with policymakers and technologists, so that we can try and understand how this technology can be developed and placed within the agricultural sector from different perspectives.
And what are the areas that these farmers came from today? Is it only in and around Auroville, or?
It's Tamil Nadu. They were, as I understand it, they were from two different areas.
Actually, I think more. I think there were some from the west, and some definitely some from the north, and then some to the other side of Pondicherry.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think it was fairly widely. People travel quite a long way, which was very good, so we got a whole mix.
Yeah.
And the sort of main question for us, which came out of discussion with actually a Scottish farmer, was, would you trust a computer to run your irrigation system? And
yeah.
He said, definitely no. So we thought, oh my God, let's ask Indian farmers what they would do.
He was Scottish, so he was
English, but he was in Scotland. So you see there are twice as many farmers said they would accept an automated system than having to do it manual.
Yeah.
That was music to our ears, mm-hmm. because what we're working on is a pretty, we'll have a manual version, but a pretty automated system. Yeah.
So they recognize the need.
Well, yes, they were open to the technology, basically, which was very good for us to hear. If they had said, no, we would never dream of doing that,
yeah.
then we knew we had a long way to travel.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of exercises that went on around here. How many were there? Were there six exercises?
There were, in essence, there were seven. So there were these six exercises on the boards behind us here.
Okay.
And then the seventh exercise was asking them really to think about how their farm might evolve over the next 10 years. What would they hope to happen within their own farm? within their own situation. And then while that question was being asked, it allowed us to collate the answers to the other six questions which are on the board here.
So is this being implemented is it because of a lack of groundwater in this area, or is it because they grow water-intensive crops?
I suppose the work stimulated from a growing water scarcity issue. And it grew out of a collaboration, if you like, of us in Scotland, including Michael and Findhorn, where we've developed a series of supply-demand matching projects around renewable energy, around trying to manage the issues of intermittency, the intermittency of renewable generation and it not meeting with traditional shapes of demand. So it grew out of that, and then in discussions with Auroville, this brilliant example of it emerged around trying to make your renewable generation look a little bit like your water pumping, and therefore the irrigation of your crops. And that seemed like a brilliant example, because it means that you can reduce your water consumption. Also, if you put the right amount of water onto the land rather than too much water, you can improve crop yields and you can reduce leaching of nutrients away from the soil and away from the crop. So it just seemed like a very happy marriage of supply-demand matching science and a very demonstrable need within this community.
So also, this is 100% funded by the UK government through something called the Department for International Development. So it's seen as an international development grant of industrial research and development. So they're helping UK universities to work with Indian organisations, such as the Centre of Scientific Research here in Auroville, to develop new technologies that are helpful to India and also helpful to the UK in that it allows us to expand the range of what we might be doing.
So yeah, they're very much commercially relevant.
Yes.
So the aim here is not to do a trial and find out a nice piece of research and publish papers. We will do that. There'll be academic output from this, but also to create a product or a system that can then be made commercially viable and can be therefore proliferated. The benefits can then be proliferated widely throughout India and through. I think there's a global market for this type of technology.
So this phase we're in right now is headed by a university, which is Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh. And the next phase, which we're actually just about to put a grant in at the end of this month, is to do 14 pilots around the south of India, where the lead is another Edinburgh organisation, but it's a company, because it's to do with the commercialisation and the application much wider of the research from the first. And that's a three-year grant. And again, the main player in India is Auroville Consulting.
What Edinburgh organisation is it?
It's a company called Scene.
Okay.
Scene Connect is the name of the company. And they're headquartered in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. They've got a small office in London and an office in Odisha. Mm-hmm. So the Odisha office will be handling the stuff in Odisha, and the stuff in Tamil Nadu will be handled by Auroville Consulting.
And your first pilot experiment over here was on Buddha Gardens?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. How is that going?
Well, it's just really starting. I mean, it has taken, we only started the grant on the 1st of April, mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of digging of trenching and running of wires.
Yeah. The first data from the garden will come about Wednesday or Thursday next week.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll start to see data, and obviously we'll have to live with that data for perhaps a month to allow us to develop the algorithms which will allow us then to do the controls, to set the control systems up.
I mean, basically this is eventually about machine learning, so that the machine learning algorithms will get the pattern of the irrigation. And be able to isolate what the plant needs from all the other water losses, like evaporation and all that type of thing. And we believe that this machine learning will be very accurate in forecasting for the next 6 or 12 hours what the irrigation should be. very much informed by Vivek in Buddha Garden to make sure we're not being silly about it. And then we'll just see how this works. This whole thing is to make sure that this actually pays off. So we should know that by the turn of the year, because we're running fairly short cycle crops. The first crop, I think, is going to be basil, and then we'll run some lettuce and ones that just take a month, so we can see the whole cycle of early stage, mid stage, and late stage cropping, and whether the computer is bright enough to actually keep up with the game, as it were.
And in so along similar timescales, we'll be doing stuff with the library area around the built environment loads, and there is purely about trying to maximise the local usage of the renewable system that's there.
Okay.
So that they've got ride-through capability for outages, for instance. So there's a variety of benefits that the system can therefore provide to the users in that area. It'll also involve streetlights. So there's a number of different loads that we'll be able to manage with that system.
And one of the most interesting loads is the little vortex, sewage treatment plant as part of the library. And right now it's not running at all at night because there's no batteries. So one of the things that I'm particularly interested in is, do we lose some of the bacterial efficiency of cleaning water when there's a whole 12 hours without any aeration? So we'll be able to run some numbers because we've got batteries there to try, switching it on for maybe a couple of hours from midnight to 2 a.m. or something like that. And does that help or not? We don't know the answer to that, so that'll be very interesting because it will help with other waste treatment plants. We can see, yes, it is possible to not have to run the thing the entire time, but still maintain a good quality of treatment. So that's a sort of side benefit of that particular experiment.